It's good to see all your smiling faces this evening. I'm going to ask for all your prayers. I've got a lot going on in my life right now. I like to call it the three M's, and that's mom and dad, who are in the twilight years of their life, and the independent living is very quickly coming to a close. It's menopause. My wife is in full-blown menopause. And the third one is mayhem, and that's work. Between the three M's, I am absolutely beat to death. So I'm going to start with prayer this evening, and I want to thank my two brothers that went before me. I, too, found out that these are some of the most difficult verses in the Bible to interpret, and there are many out there with many opinions. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this evening for your great mercy and kindness. Lord, you know what we go through each and every day. You know the trials in our lives, the temptations, Father. And Lord, those who seek to hurt us, Father, you're there. You tell us that you're all sufficient for our needs, for anything that we ever run across. And Lord, I'm learning to lean on you, and I pray my brothers and sisters are too. Father, imitators of Christ is what we need to be. We need to count on him as his example. We need to walk it through our lives, and we need to turn to him, Father, for all things. Well, we pray that you'll be with us tonight as we speak these few words in these few minutes we have, that they may find a lodging place in your people's hearts, that they may learn from it, and they may grow from it. So, Father, we give you the praise and the glory. May you be all to us all. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. I have 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. When I read it, I come up with three amazing little points: the world, the witness, and the wailing. So as I read this, we'll step through this. First of all, 4 through 6. They are surprised that do you not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse upon you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. So let's start out with the world. We see in verse 4, they are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless living, and they heap abuse upon you. So if we learn three things about the world, first of all, they're surprised. The world has a very narrow view of life and the way it should be lived. They have no fear of God or the thought of any reconciling of their own life and actions. We see it daily in the news. We see it at work, and sometimes in our own areas of influence. To make that even more personal, we see it in our families, both immediate and extended. Romans 18 says there is no fear of God before their eyes. And for that reason, they are surprised we don't join them and eat, drink, and be merry as well. To give an example of this, I have a very difficult work life. I have very godless people above me, and was invited a couple weeks ago and suggested it would be good for my career if I would go to Richie's with them and have a beer after work. And I promptly told them, I don't do that. I'm going to go home to my wife and to my kids. I'm not interested in your beer or your promotion. My immediate boss told me that my 2 weeks vacation I took to spend with my family was hurting my career, was a bad career move. They don't understand. They're surprised that we're different. They're surprised. Second step, they live a reckless and wild. When you have no fear of punishment, and the world teaches you to make sure you challenge all authority and get everything you're entitled to, all you can afford, and much, much more. They make decisions without the thoughts of others they may hurt or others they may use. One of the best examples we can find in Scripture comes in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. How many of you are familiar with the story of the prodigal son? This parable is familiar to all of us. It's a story of a lost man who lived both reckless and wild until God opened his eyes. Without the mercy of God, and this parable would have ended much differently. Praise to the God of salvation and mercy. Thirdly, they abuse. How many of you are familiar with the movie The Lord of the Rings? Many of you see that? The little guy that played Gimli, the little elf, kicked butt all over the place. He was interviewed. He's Christian. And it was interviewed back in 2015 on Adam Chappelle's podcast. And he had this to say. I find it very interesting because it's not necessarily the point of what he's saying, but it's the overall aspect of the abuse. Unless we find it, we're going to lose our civilization, he said. I think we're going to lose Western European Christian civilization anyway. The actor who played Gimli on Lord of the Rings blasted American society for staying silent on Islamic extremism, citing political correctness as the culprit. There is an extraordinary silence in the West, he said. Basically, Christianity in the Middle East and in Africa is being wiped out. I mean, not just ideologically, but physically. And people are being enslaved and killed because they're Christians. And your country and my country are doing nothing about it. This notion that we're involved in this species that is capable of judging other groups and what they are doing, especially when it is beheading people or setting people on fire or throwing acid in the face of schoolgirls, I like that kind of judging. It's evolved. The actor lambasted the politicians refusing to take a stand. This is a unique age. We don't want to be judgmental. It's an age where politicians don't actually say what they believe. They're afraid of being judged as a bipartisan or being partisan. Heaven forbid that we should criticize people who are all, after all, share a different value system. Given that Rhys Davies was on the podcast to promote the DVD release of his recent drama, Return to the Hiding Place, about a Dutch Jew during World War II, the actor had the concepts of good and evil in his mind. But he said it's all relevant. It's all equally relative. We're all the same, he said, mocking what he sees as political correct defenses against taking definitive action against extremists. And God and the devil, they're the same, aren't they, really? Right and wrong, it's just really two faces of the same coin. End of quote. I don't know in today's world that the word abuse is strong enough. There are people suffering and dying daily for the name of Christ all over this world. Thirdly, we go to witness. But they have to give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. I see three things here. They'll have to give an account. It'll be to him, and he's ready to judge the living and the dead. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. We know from God's word that all will be accounted for in the end. The Christian at the bema seat judgment, if you look at 2 Corinthians 5-10, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is important for all of us to remember. When the abuse comes, we must not be like the Pharisees. We too will be judged for our intentions, thoughts, and actions. We must look to the book of Revelation to see the judgment of the lost. Following the release of Satan after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Revelation 27, Satan will deceive the nations of the earth, gather them to battle against the saints in the beloved city, at which time Satan and his army will be devoured from fire from heaven, Revelation 29. Following this, Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, Matthew 25:41 and Revelation 20:10. Whereupon Christ, who is the judge of all men, John 5:22, will resurrect and judge the great and the small at the great white throne judgment. This resurrection of the unsaved dead to judgment will be a physical resurrection, whereupon receiving their judgment, John 5:28-29, they will be committed to an eternal conscious punishment in the lake of fire. Matthew 25:41, Revelation 20:11-15. We will give an account. Every living being who's ever breathed a breath on the face of the earth will kneel before him and confess that he is Lord. And we will give the account of our lives, both as Christians for what we did in Christ, and both if we're not saved, the books will be opened and we will be judged. The Bible says there'll be many on that day who will cry, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this for you? Didn't I do that for you? And he'll simply say, depart from me, I never knew you. Very important that we're a witness to this world. Now, to him we are judged, both the living and the dead. He was born in human flesh, clothed in deity, suffered temptation the same as us, and experienced the death deserved by sinful men. He is the only one worthy to judge both the dead and the living. He was appointed by the Father, and his stamp of approval was the resurrection. He declared it himself in Acts 10:42, and he commanded them to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. His life had this purpose, Romans 14:9. For this reason Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. For this reason we give an account to him in Romans 14:12. So then such as us will give an account to himself to God. There are some additional cross-references that help with this. I think I've probably covered it. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge you that the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom. James 5:9, do not complain about one another, brother, so that you not be judged. Look, the judge is standing at the door. These are two additional cross-references to help you. And lastly, wailing. This verse is very hard to interpret. I'm going to read it. For this reason, the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. This was preached for a purpose, judgment of the body and life in the spirit. As you go through and you look at the original Greek, it says who are now dead. This is actually people that who have breathed, who have lived, and are now dead. If you tie onto this and you look at Peter talking about going to imprisoned spirits and speaking, the Lord doing that, there are really two sides of the coin. I'm going to give both sides. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't understand completely. So I'm going to pull Pastor Brad and I'm going to say, here it is. Here's what I want you to think about and pray about, because I'm still praying about it. Lord, help me. But there are biblical scholars that hold to the people who died in the flood that had not heard the gospel, had known the judgment of Noah as far as building the ark, judgment was coming, but had not heard the good news of the gospel. So there are beliefs in certain scholars that this is the crowd that Jesus preached to. But due to the fact that their bodies were so messed up or whatever, that they were not going to be allowed to have a resurrected body. They would live in the spirit. Now, there's some others who say no, but when you dial this back and you look at this, you even got to get into what the person who's doing the expository, what's their belief system? You know, this is a Catholic view of where this come from. And they get into a little bit of purgatory and holding and that kind of stuff. So I don't know that I fall that way. But then if you look at 1 Corinthians 5:5, you find where Paul, they have a problem in the church where you have a young man who's sleeping with his stepmother. And Paul says to remove him for the church, turn him over to the devil for the rendering of his flesh so that the soul may live in the day of the Lord. So we have that point that this may be Christians who had died in sin and that the Lord preached to them that their bodies would be judged and that they would go forward and live in the Spirit in the day of the Lord. I don't understand it. I'll be first to tell you, I don't understand it. I've been praying that God open my eyes, help me to understand it. Help me to understand it in a way that makes sense. He don't always do that. Sometimes it's just wait. Sometimes it's as you study a little harder, you'll learn a little more. So we'll leave it at that. I want you to know both sides of that. There are a lot of people out there. Be careful when you read. Find out what those people's belief system is so that it lines up with our belief system. So that way I don't want to bring about any confusion. And brother, I hope I haven't. But we have a couple cross references, and this one I really like. It says, "For Christ also suffered in sins once for all, for the righteous, for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." And if you look at this, the scripture before he's talking about, he preached to the dead in the body death, and then the life in the spirit. So I thought that was a very good cross-reference. And we have 1 Peter 1:12. "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they foretold the things now announced by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to into these things." Now, with all that said, and Pastor Brad, I haven't walked all evening. I've been right here in front of the pulpit. It's a challenge because I like to move. Moving targets hard to hit. But I'm going to ask you, are you being a witness? Are you being a witness? How many people in your lives try to hurt you? I see them every day. And all the pride in me wants to lash out in anger. I have bosses that throw me under the bus and say, "I didn't tell him to do that." I have a wife who sometimes goes for no reason at all. I have puppy gate going on in my life right now. That's a whole different story. But we have to be a walking, breathing witness to a world who may ever, never see the image of Christ if it's not for us. We need to talk to those people at Hickey's. We need to talk to those people at work, and somehow, some way, by God's mercy, we need to forgive. And we need to love those who don't love us. That's what I want to close with, because I think that's what it's all about. If we're that witness, when we walk with the Lord and trust and lean on Him, there's the answers. Be imitators of Christ. That's all our hope, all our need. He is sufficient. God bless you.